Actually, I put it in my book. I changed that afterwards. I'm sorry, but I put why we don't thank God. Why we don't thank God. You know, man's natural view. It's like sin. It's our built-in stand equipment. That's the way we're born. It's part of what we are. It's natural for us to not to be near God, not to want him, to just run away from him. But understand it was God who made the third step for us. No man seeks God. God seeks us. That's what God's words tells us. You know, we think that we can reason this thing out in our own mind. And I want to tell you, I've heard so many people say, well, it makes common sense. Well, how much would common sense mean to this verse? It says in Proverbs 21:2, it says, every man, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but God ponders the heart. You see, remember when God picked, here we go, King David. And as he picked him, he told his father that it is God who looks upon the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. You know, we have, all too often, we're doing things, we're running by the flesh. We're not running by the Spirit. You know, when you don't run by the Spirit, all these things look foolish to you. That's what God's Word says in 2 Corinthians, around verse 14. We need to understand that our way, our eyes see a different point of view. In Proverbs 16:25, it says, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of what? Death. That's right. The ways are death. Can I trust my own self? No. Can I trust my common sense? No. You know, we all trust in something, even the atheist. There's an old saying that there's no atheist when they all jump in the phone, they're in a foxhole, right? But you know, we need to learn. It's a learning thing because it's our natural self not to trust God, to trust in ourselves. So we need to put our faith and trust in God. It says, first of all, the way to God is by looking at Jesus, and does not mean his physical appearance, because God's a spirit. We can't see God. And God's word, it tells us, if you want to see God, you look at Jesus. You look at Jesus. Why we don't see God is because a lot of times we're not looking. We're not looking. You know, this time that God put me on a shelf. And that's what he's done with us. He's put us on a shelf. It's given me an opportunity. I'll tell you, I look at God. I really practice reality, the reality of Christ in my life. You know, in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Well, I believe God dwells among us. He not only dwells among us, he dwells in me and in you. But how often do we remember that? How often do we remember it? Why we don't see God? We got to look. It says here in John 4:24, it says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Therefore, we must have spiritual eyes to see God, since he is a spirit. We have to look with our spiritual eyes. How can we receive this spiritual eyesight? John 12:44-46. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on him, believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that sees me sees him, or God, that hath sent me. I am the light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. So to look at Jesus is to see God, isn't it? According to God's word. You know, if we just simply believe on him and turn from our wicked ways with a repentant heart, he saves us and gives us new eyesight. Behold, all things have become new. That's what it says in God's word. Old things have passed away. We have become a new creature in him. Not only are we born again with a new father, but with us is the potential to become just like his firstborn son, Jesus. You know, a lot of times we feel that I bring something to God. I bring something to the table. I want to tell you, I'm bankrupt before God. I bring nothing to the table. He brings everything. In Romans 10, 9, and 10. I like to call this TNT because it is. It says, therefore, if you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus, and I'm trying to read in King James, I'm sorry, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with one heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. What does it ask you to do? To believe with your what? Heart. So if I believe it up here, is that the same thing? That's an intellectual belief, isn't it? It's like being 18 inches from hell. It isn't the head knowledge. It doesn't say, oh, yeah, I believe there's a Jesus Christ. No, I have to believe him with my heart. It's a heart. It's from your heart, your inner being. You have to believe it with your all. Bobby told you the story. About the guy that walked Niagara Falls with a wheelbarrow. They put a wire across, and he's got the wheelbarrow. And he's going, I'm going to walk across. And the chair was going, yeah, he's going to do it, man. He's going to do it. So the guy walks across. Well, he gets to that side, and now he's going to go back. And he says, who believes I can walk across again? Everybody's going, yeah. He says, okay, get in the wheelbarrow. Believing in Christ is getting into the wheelbarrow. Getting into the wheelbarrow. Not an observer, but a participant. Putting your faith and trust, your all, in the one who saves. One of the things is we don't see God. That's my first point, is that we don't see God. We're going to sing a song near the end of this. And I'll tell you what, I've made it a point to see God in my life, to stop and see God. During this time in my life, you know, I just gave an example earlier. When we didn't have electricity, we turned it on. Did we thank God? Have you ever thanked God for the breath you took this morning? Because without it, you wouldn't be here. Have you thanked God for the house you live in? Have you thanked God for your family? Have you thanked God for the food and all this? Do you see God in your day-to-day walk with him? Because, you know, if you don't see God, then he's not real, is he? I got another question for you. As you look around, look at the person you're right or left here. Do you see God in that person? When you look at that person, do you see a person or do you see God? And you're so thankful for the God you see in that person. Because if God lives in you, then you're God with skin on. You are what people will see. And as we walk around, people should be able to look at you and say, I thank God for what God's doing in your life, the way that you forgive, the way that you do this, you see? Because we're going to have those traits. Why? Because it isn't us, it's God in us. We're going to begin to see God in our day-to-day. Do you get up in the morning and say, I'm going to see God today? Or am I just going to have a humdrum day? Hope God's around. God's everywhere, and he's in everything, in all things, and including us, as believers in Christ. The other thing we have is we have a problem with ownership versus stewardship. One of our problems is that who owns everything? Who owns all things? And what other things? We get to believe and we own everything. What does Psalms 24:1 say? It says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who lives in it. Now, just think about that verse. Who owns everything? God. Now, you happen to live in a house. Who owns it? You have a car. Who owns it? You have children, who owns them? God. God tests every once in a while. You know how he tests us? He tests us when he takes that thing away and sees how much we cry about it. Because, do you remember Job? He said, naked, I came into this world and naked, I'll go out of it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, we just need to recognize that we don't own things. We're only stewards. So, you know, if I think that I own my wages, I think that I own my house and everything, what have I got to be thankful for to God? I don't have to thank him because I own it. When we think we own it, that's the old man in us. We see that God owns all things. That's the new man in Christ. Ephesians says this: I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave his life for me. In Colossians 3, 1 through 3, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Where's your focus? Do you see God? Do you realize that he owns all things we don't? I mean, why thank God we own everything? I think I've already said that. Stewardship follows the belief that human beings are created by the same God who created the entire universe and everything in it. Stewardship is a responsibility to manage those resources according to God's word. We are simply managers of those things that God already owns. Please understand that I am bankrupt before God. If I wrote you a check today, you might as well throw it away. And I'm so glad I am. Because the day I think that I've got something in the bank, the day I think that it's me, and I bring something to the table, I've got a heart problem. I have a problem. I said that Job put it this way, with ownership. That's what Job thought when everything was taken away from him except for his own life and his wife, if you remember, and his riches. We become thankful when we believe that we own things. I'm thankful. The other thing is we forget that thankfulness is an attitude. It's an attitude. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. Wait a minute, I was just in a car accident. You know what? As I was in that car accident, they had to cut the doors off. Jackie, the EMT, the emergency person, the EMT, is putting the neck brace on her, and I said, stop. And he looks at me like, I go, we got to pray. And I prayed, God, you know what? Even this is from your hand, and it's for a reason. And I want your will more than anything else. Done. He said, amen. I said, you believe? He says, yes, I am. I said, praise God. Do we look at that way in our life? Do we look at things that way? Everything give thanks. See, I'm ahead of myself. I just keep bringing it up. I'm sorry. The other thing we have to realize that sin can block our fellowship with God. It doesn't block our relationship with God, but it does block our fellowship. Isaiah says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. In other words, when I sin, I need to ask forgiveness from my Father. I need to bring it before him. As a believer, it's 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that word confess means to say the same thing. It isn't, oh God, I've sinned again. No, God, I did, and you name the offense. And I was wrong. And he forgives our sin. He's already forgiven our sins, actually. What this does is restore our fellowship with him. The problem with not being thankful is this. In Romans 1:12, it says this, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were what? They weren't thankful. Because vain in their hearts, imaginations, their foolish hearts were darkened. If you just see yourself not being thankful, I hope the red flag comes up. The red flag comes up. See, we're talking today not about a head thing, we're talking about a heart thing. Because all these things show up, and it tells you where your heart is. When something comes up in your life, it really tells you. Your next response tells you where your heart is. It tells you where your heart is. We're going to close with a song. And the name of the song is I See Him. And it's kind of a simple song. I kind of like it that way. Do you know, anybody know Johnny Erickson? It's an old name, isn't it? And Johnny Erickson, Bill knows. What happened to Johnny Erickson, Bill? You know the whole story. I know. Yeah, if you look up today, it'll be Johnny Erickson Tata. And she sang a song. This goes back into the 70s. And a song went that she'd be thankful just to change a diaper. She'd be thankful to cook something on the stove. You see, she's paralyzed. Jack McGuckin. Jack McGuckin, Bill, you know Jack McGuckin too. He was a dive bomber pilot during World War II. You ever hear of Pappy Boynton in the Black Sheep Squadron? Well, he was one of them. He was one of them. And his son was coming down the driveway at Word of Life on his bicycle, was hit by a car and was killed. And Jack loved the Lord. But you know, like all of us, we're human, aren't we? But the testimony of Jack was that he was at doing a ministry with Johnny Erickson. And as he got talking with her, it's like God broke the chain for him. He said, my heart turned and I become thankful. At a time of great loss and grieving, he became thankful. You see, it isn't thankfulness comes when we see God in everything. In everything. And we realize that we don't own, we're bankrupt. And he has everything. You know, the men went to Mexico. Remember that on a mission trip? And they came home with only the clothes they had on their back because they gave their clothes away. Because the people had nothing. And when those men come back, they had tears in their eyes. Why do you think they had tears in their eyes? Because God gave them a snapshot of what it is to have nothing. The problem with us is we have too much. And when we have too much, and we don't see, we begin to think that we own them. We don't see God. We become unthankful. And that's what it's all about today. Thanksgiving is a time of being thankful, but we always think of the big things. What about everything? I've got a couple quotes here. Whoop, my quotes are gone. Where did those quotes go? Here's a quote. Don't think of the things you don't get after you pray. Think of the countless blessings God gave you without asking. How about that? I don't know about you, but this woke me up. God gave us a gift of 86,400 seconds today. Have you used one to say thank you? If you woke up today with only the things you thank God for yesterday, what if you woke up today with only the things you thank God yesterday? Dear God, this is to me a child's point of view. Dear God, I want to take a minute not to thank you for anything, but simply thank you for all I have. I have learned some of my biggest lessons from a 3-year-old because they just speak with all their heart, man. Dear God, I know I'm not perfect, but I want to thank you for loving me anyway. That's a big amen for me. I'm not where I should be, but thank God I'm not where I was. Did you ever get discouraged? Being grateful in our circumstances is an act of faith from God, being thankful in our circumstance. It's not happy people who are thankful, it's thankful people who are happy. We're going to sing a song. I'd like you to just, you know, as I've asked you to do at the beginning of the service, I said, just be thankful to stop. And as you sing this song, they're going to do the singing, but I'd like you to just think about the words. I don't know if you know about this couple, but this is Joy and Rory. Since that time, she has died with cancer. They have a little girl. She has Down syndrome. Her name is Indiana. And they are so loving. They love each other and they love God. You know, that's a winning combination in my book. Think about these words.